Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Bacon does a great job leading services. I appreciate his leadership, his sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I appreciate all of you and your enthusiastic worship. Amen. That's vital. We have good church, and we want to keep having good church. Amen. Isn't that all right? So we want to keep having good church. Amen. But I want to preach a little bit tonight from the book of Romans. If you'd go there with me to Romans chapter 8. While you're turning there, remember, schedule this week. Tuesday night is jam session at 6:30. You know what kind of jam you like, so bring it with you. Sheree will bring the bread. Amen. A little pun there. Amen. Come at 6:30, then at 7:30 is media meeting. So, and then Wednesday night, what are we going to do? Yeah, we're going to have church, aren't we? Hallelujah. And then Thursday night, what are we going to do? We're going to have church all over again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to worship the Lord with all of our hearts. Amen. Keep praying for Canton. We had another guest today. And so, a good message. Brother Neil preached a beautiful message to us today. A good, beautiful presence of the Lord. We just need to get more Canton folks there to feel it. Amen. But we're working on that. I'm going to do some outreach there this summer. And matter of fact, in the very near future, we'll be reaching out there. Amen. And so remember all of these things. Amen. And we're going tonight to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. The Bible said, "For I reckon." You see, Paul was a southerner, wasn't he? He said, "I reckon." Amen. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Anybody known any sufferings? Anybody had any hard times? Anybody going through some difficulties? "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Amen. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Amen. And so tonight we want to preach better than we ever imagined. Better than we ever imagined. Amen. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to leave this life. You may be seated. A Sunday school teacher asked her class, "How many want to go to heaven?" Every child raised their hand except Charlie. And she said, "Charlie, don't you want to go to heaven?" And he said, "I guess so." She said, "Well, why didn't you raise your hand?" Charlie said, "Well, Mama cooked she baked a chocolate cake, and I was really wanting to get some for dinner." He had his mind on chocolate cake instead of heaven. And some of us, all of us tonight, we struggle with the same thing. We want to go to heaven, but we want one more slice of life. Just one more day. Just one more moment. Just one more hour. And so we want to go, but we're not really ready to cut the ties of the terrestrial to get to heaven. Amen. And so we're a little bit like Charlie tonight. But everybody knows that there's something stirring in the world. There's something going on. Even in other religions, there's something going on. In Judaism, recently, they formed a new Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin is trying to commission the building of the third temple in Jerusalem in preparation for the return of Messiah. In Judaism, there's something that's moving, saying we're ready for Messiah to come. Hallelujah. The Buddhists, recently there was a young man, perhaps you read about him. He would get up and he would be out 5 o'clock every morning. He would meditate till 5 o'clock every evening. They said, I don't know how this happens, but they said they didn't, nobody saw him eat anything for several months. And twice he was bitten by deadly snakes and he survived all of that. Nothing ever happened to him. And all of a sudden, he was gone. He just disappeared. And they're still looking for him over there, because they believe that he is their Messiah. And then in Hinduism, they're looking for Kalki Avatar, which is the 10th return of Vishnu, ushering in the golden age of faith. So Hinduism is looking for what they call their Messiah. Islam, when the president of Iran was voted in, gave $20 million to build a temple in honor of the hidden imam, because they believe that he's going to return with Jesus Christ. Amen. And they're looking for him to come. So they're saying, all right, here's our hope that very soon our Messiah is going to come. New Age believers are also believing a very similar thing. New Age is reaching out. And they're looking for the age of Aquarius, they say. An age of peace. An age where everything's going to be better. And everything's going to be good. And they said, we're starting a brand new age right now. And then we're reaching out to other faiths. The Baha'i faith said they're looking for the return of Messiah and the fifth Buddha. So we've got all these groups and they're saying we're looking for Messiah. We're waiting for Messiah. Very soon, Messiah is going to come. Amen. And I'll tell you what, tonight we're not going to be outdone, because the Church of Jesus Christ is looking any time for the coming of the Lord, when He's going to split the eastern sky. The Bible said He's going to come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of the Lord. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then all we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're looking for that. The Bible said that He's coming for those that are looking for His appearing. Amen. And so, there's a lot going on in the world today. There's a lot of things that are happening here. Paul talks about some things here in this 8th chapter of the book of Romans. He first of all talks about suffering. Now, Paul was a man that knew about suffering. He went through a lot of things. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was beaten with whips 3 times. He was shipwrecked. He was imprisoned. He was in all kinds of horrible situations, and his health was not good, and he had all kinds of difficulties and problems. But he said the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Hallelujah. Are you going through some suffering tonight? Are you having some hard times? Hear me tonight. He said, that's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. Amen. When you get to suffering, just think about the glory. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the King. I've been washed in His blood. I've been filled with His Spirit. Amen. My name is written on the roll. I'm in the book of heaven tonight. Hallelujah. Anytime the trumpet could sound and this mortal could put on immortality and this corruption could be put on incorruption, the air. He said it's not even worthy to be compared. Amen. Help us, Lord, not to get too tied up in the things of this life and get too worried about the things that are going on down here. He said, don't even worry about it. It's not worthy. It's not worthy. He said, for the earnest. Everybody say earnest. You know what the earnest is? That's our down payment. Amen. You know what we got around here tonight? We got the down payment. Amen. Sister Hunt, you know what you were feeling a little while ago? That was just the down payment. That was the layaway. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We just make another payment tonight. We're one day closer to the kingdom than we were yesterday. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, heaven is going to be better than this. This is good, but that's going to be better. Hallelujah. He said, this is just a taste of it. This is just to whet your appetite. This is just to tease your taste buds and get you ready for some heavenly things. He just wants us to know a little bit tonight about what He's prepared for us. He said, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. I think it was William or Phillips that in his translation, he said, for the whole creation is standing on tiptoe for the revelation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what I'm looking at here tonight? I'm looking at kings and priests. I said, I'm looking at kings and priests. The Bible said, for we shall reign with Him as kings and priests. Hallelujah. I don't know what God's going to do tonight, but I'm telling you, He's a big God and He's got big plans. Hallelujah. When I look into the heavens and I see all of those planets and all of those things in the universe, I think God's got plans for that. I think He's going to put some life on some of those planets. Amen. And I think He's going to say, Brother Jonathan, I'm going to need you to be king over here on Venus. Amen. Brother Wesley, I'm going to need to be king over here on Mars. Amen. God's got some plans for His church tonight. Hey, I want you to know something. It's better than we can even believe. I don't know what you think about heaven, but it's not going to be floating around on clouds, plucking on harps, having angels drop grapes in your mouth. I'd be bored in no time. Heaven is going to be about lordship. It's going to be about worship. It's going to be about praise. It's going to be about authorities. God's got a plan for His church tonight. I said, God's got a plan for His church tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, I'm so tired. I can't wait to get to heaven. Ain't going to be no rest up there. Amen. Hey, there's not going to be any place to rest. Amen. The Bible talks about it. It gave us a little glimpse. Remember, Isaiah saw a little bit about heaven. And what he saw these creatures. And it said, day and night. Day and night. One was saying to the other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the whole earth is full of His glory. And the other would say back, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of glory. And the whole earth is full of His glory. And they'll just say that back and forth. Praise God 24/7. Never stop. Amen. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You're going to trade this old body for a different one. That's when the sons of God are going to be revealed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to have a new body. We're going to have a new life, the songwriter said. Amen. So creation is waiting for something. It's waiting for something. Amen. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. You see what happened? The earth didn't ask for what happened to it. Plants didn't ask for what happened to them. Animals didn't ask for what happened to them. Amen. That was Adam and Eve's fault. Everything was right. Everything was perfect. The earth was in good shape. Everything was growing like it was supposed to grow. Amen. Mosquitoes didn't have a bite. Wasps didn't have a sting. Amen. Plants didn't have thorns. Everything was good. Everything was right. Everything was beautiful. Everything was perfect. But the Bible said that when Adam and Eve sinned, what did he tell Adam? He said, the ground is cursed for your sake. Adam brought a curse upon the earth. That's why we have earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis and droughts and floods and all of the other things that happened to us, because sin came into the world and it put the whole earth under a curse. Before that, there were no thorns. Plants didn't have thorns. There were no bull nettles. Anybody got a hold of a bull nettle? You ever had one get a hold of you? You ever had a cat claw get a hold of you? Amen. I'm telling you, there's some wicked things out there. You ever stepped on a cactus barefooted? There's some sticky stuff out there. You ever had a mesquite thorn go through the bottom of your shoe? Amen. There's some mean stuff out there. Amen. You ever been stung by a wasp or a scorpion? Woo! That hurts. And that I wasn't here. You ever spent a sleepless night because some stupid mosquito couldn't land? You can't sleep with that going on. You know it's going to hit you any second. My prayer is, Lord, just let him suck the blood and leave me, let me sleep. He'll get full and I'll turn over on him and there'll just be a bloody spot in the morning. Amen. I hate mosquitoes. None of those stuff was here. And so the Bible said that the whole creation groaneth. Everybody say groaneth. And travails. Every now and the earth, it's got to shake things up a little bit. And there'll be an earthquake. Have you ever been in an earthquake? That's an exciting event. It's something really different. And there's no place to go. Everything's shaking. Nothing's stable. We were driving along in Columbia. I was driving down the highway and all of a sudden the car started hopping around. I thought, man, I got a flat. It wasn't a flat. It was an earthquake. The road was shaking and moving. I was standing in there watching a fish aquarium. All of a sudden it started going, vroom, vroom. The water was like this, just about to throw the fish out of it. And I thought, what in the world is going on? And everybody said, earthquake! Amen. It's a strange feeling when the earth that we think is so solid and so sure is moving beneath your feet. But this whole creation, the Bible said it's groaning in pain. Originally, scientists thought that the heavens were silent. But you know what? Heaven is filled with sound. When they got some instruments out there, they can hear the heavens groaning. There's noise out there. It has a pitch like the purring of an engine or the pulse of electricity going through a wire. Pulsars sing and make noise. Heaven groans. Earth groans. Creation groans. Certainly human beings groan. I do. More than I used to. Amen. I get up. First thing I do is check and make sure everything's working. Amen. And then you groan a little bit and you stand up and your knees, you know, you get used to the pain. Straighten up the back, you get used to the pain. Your ankles, you get used to the pain. After a while, you say, yep, it's there. I'm good to go. Got all aches and pains. I'm ready now. Amen. And so, creation groans. Human beings groan. Everything is groaning. Amen. The heavens groan. Amen. That's what's going on here. Amen. But the Bible said that heaven is preparing. Jesus was 24 hours away from death. And he had to tell his disciples something that they could hold on to when he was gone. And so, John chapter 14, this is what he said. He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you." I'm going away. I'm going to prepare something. He said, "And that I may receive you unto myself." And he said, "If I go, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to receive you to the place that I have prepared." And if God could create a world like this in 7 days, what can he do in 7 millennia? What's heaven going to look like? I'm going to tell you one thing. It's going to be better than you imagine. Hallelujah. Paul said that he was caught up to the seventh heaven. Or to the third heaven, I'm sorry. Caught up to the third heaven. That's what we're talking about tonight. He was caught up to that place. And he said, "What I saw there and what I heard there," he said, "it's not lawful to utter." Have you ever tried to describe how something tastes to somebody that's never tasted it? How do you do that? Well, we usually say it tastes like chicken. Right? That's the standard. Everything tastes like chicken. Have you ever tried to describe what something looks like that you've seen and nobody else has seen? Have you ever tried to describe something that you heard? And you tried to describe the sound, but there was no way to get it across. That's how Paul felt. He said, "The things I saw, I can't even explain it to you. The things I heard, I can't put it in words. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but it's going to be better than I imagine. I know that right now there are colors in the spectrum that I cannot see. My vision is limited to just a certain part of the spectrum, and there are colors beyond that, but I can't see them. I know that there are sounds that are out there that my ears cannot hear. But I just wonder tonight, when I get to heaven, if God is going to open my vision and I'm going to be able to see things that I can't see right now. And I'm going to be able to hear sounds that I can't hear right now." Heaven's going to be better than you imagine. Praise the Lord. There are going to be things there that we've never seen before. Amen. The Bible said that each gate of the 12 is one solid pearl. And if you think the oyster or the pearl is something, you ought to see the oyster. Amen. That's one more big critter right there. Amen. You know what a pearl is in the Bible? A pearl is the symbol of suffering. You know how pearls are formed? Pearls are the product of irritation. A piece of sand sinks into the soft tissue of an oyster, and it begins to secrete a chemical to try to wash it out. And instead, it just forms around it, and it keeps growing and getting bigger and getting bigger and getting bigger and getting bigger. And the deeper the wound, the larger the pearl. Pearls are the product of pain. Isn't it interesting that the entrance to heaven is going to be a pearl? Amen. He said, "You, it took some pain to get here, but you made it." Hallelujah. And once the gate shuts behind you, you say, "No more pain." Woo! No more pain. Hallelujah. Hey, no more pain. Not going that way anymore. The Bible said the walls are jasper. Each foundation of the city, of 12 foundation, each one is a precious stone. The streets are made of pure gold. There's a sea that is made of crystal. Amen. It's going to be a place that is beyond our imagination. beyond our imagination. And more than that, the Bible said there's not going to be any more death there. No more funerals to attend. No more tears to shed. No more broken hearts. No more question marks. No more worries. No more frets. No more sorrow. No more darkness. Amen. I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. It's going to be better than I imagine. But you see, heaven is not just going to be the absence of things. All of these things that now we dread and we live through. But instead of death, there's just going to be eternal life. Instead of darkness, there's going to be light. And the Bible said the Lamb is the light of the city. It's not sunlight and it's not moonlight. It's Jesus light. And it never goes out. Amen. And you're not going to get a monthly bill. It's not like the electric company. It's not like the utilities. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Your house is going to be heated by Jesus' heat. Amen. It's not going to cost you anything. Praise the Lord. You're not going to have to worry about overdraft and overcharges. Amen. Because it's going to be a place that's going to be perfect. A place that we can't even imagine now. We feel the Holy Ghost. And I love to feel the Holy Ghost. There's nothing I love better than just being in the presence of God. Sometimes it's so overwhelming. You don't know what to say. And you don't know what to do. And so sometimes you just stand and let it wash over you. Amen. And you just try to soak it in all that you can. And get it in every pore of your being. Because you know what tomorrow's going to bring. Amen. But can you imagine a place where I don't have the limitations that I have right now? I don't think I know how to enjoy God's presence like I'll be able to enjoy God's presence over there. Amen. Right now, what we call peace is when we just get a little lull in the battle and we don't have to struggle so much. And we think, oh, this is peace. But what about when you get to a place where there's just no trouble? I don't even know how to imagine a peace like that peace. I can't even imagine a joy like the joy of the Lord, where there's absolutely no distractions. There's absolutely no limitations. Heaven is going to be better than what you imagine. There's no place like that place. Amen. He's been working on it now for 2,000 years, and I can't help but believe that it's almost ready. Hallelujah. I believe that he's getting all of the things in place right now. And he's just about ready to turn around to Gabe and say, "Hey, Gabe, you got that horn ready? You've been practicing a long time. You got that note down? That one that's going to be so loud, it's going to wake the dead. You got it ready? Amen. Gabriel, lick your lips, son. Get ready to blow. Amen. It's almost time. We're almost ready. Amen. So heaven is preparing. And man is waiting. Hallelujah. You know, it's going to be exciting. One of these days, Brother Neil, I'm going to lift up my left foot and I'm not even going to put it down. At least not on terra firma. When that foot lands again, it's going to be on a golden street. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to be looking around. I might be looking at my beautiful wife. And the next face I see is going to be Jesus Christ. Amen. It's going to happen just like that. The Bible said in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, as fast as you can blink your eyes. He said it's quicker than that. That's some speed, isn't it? Amen. That's how quick it's going to happen. Somebody said, "Well, I'm just going to wait and repent at the end." No, you're not. You can't talk that fast. Yeah, man, you won't even get a word out. You got to be ready when he comes. Amen. So the Bible said that he's coming to those that are looking for his appearing. Those that he talked about, those that have prepared themselves. Prepared themselves. Have you ever been around a bride getting ready for a wedding? You talk about preparing. Colors and little intricate things that nobody's even going to notice. But it's important. Things got to be right. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know how long my wife and her friends worked on that part. Brother Hart and I went swimming. They were all stressed out. We were having a good time. But we got there in time for the event. Amen. But this time around, I'm a bride. Amen. And I got to do some preparing. The Bible said he's coming for a bride that has no wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. I've got to get my heart right. Got to get my spirit right. Got to get my life cleaned up. Amen. I got to stay busy. I can't sit down. I don't want any wrinkles in my garment. Amen. I got to get ready because he's going to come and I want to be there. Because it's going to be better than I can believe. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I read a story about a guy by the name of William M. Dyke. William Dyke was blinded when he was 10 years of age. But he had a lot of gumption, and he went on not only to graduate from high school and from college, but he went to a graduate degree. And while he was getting his graduate degree, he fell in love with the girl and asked her to marry him, and she said yes. Her father was an admiral in the Navy, and he had one condition. He said, William, you can marry my daughter, but you have to have a surgery. It's risky, but it might restore your sight. And if you'll agree to the surgery, I'll agree to let my daughter marry you. William said, I'll take the chance. And he said, I've got a stipulation. He said, I'll have the surgery. He said, but when the surgery's over, he said, I want you to promise me that you'll not take the bandages off until I get to the altar waiting for my bride. He said, if the surgery works, the first thing I want to see is the face of my bride. They said, all right, William, we'll do that. They had the surgery. The wedding started. William was walked down the aisle by his father with bandages around his eyes. He stood there with his father. The bride march starts. In comes the bride. Father marches her down the aisle, stands her next to William. The father reaches over. Everybody's breathless waiting to see what's going to happen. He starts winding the bandage off of his eyes until the bandage falls away. And he blinks his eyes a few times and he looks up and he says to his bride, he said, you're more lovely than I could have imagined. The first thing he ever saw was the face of his bride. Amen. Fanny Crosby was a great songwriter. Many of the songs that we sing, the great hymns of the church, were written by Fanny Crosby. But she was a blind lady. And they said, don't you want to see? She said, not really. She said, I've grown used to the darkness. She said, the first thing I want to see is the face of Jesus Christ. I'll just wait until I get to heaven. Because the first thing I want to see is him. I'm telling you tonight, it's going to be better than you imagine. Paul wrote, he said, Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, what the Lord has prepared. Amen. We don't even know. It's beyond our ability to imagine. We've never seen anything like heaven. I've seen some beautiful things. I've had the privilege to travel all over the United States of America. 42 states at least, and I'm telling you, I've seen some beautiful things. I've seen some beautiful beaches. I've seen some majestic and awesome mountains. I've actually seen some sights that I literally pulled my car over on the side of the road. I said, I've got to look at this a little more. I'm not passing this up. It's just so awesome just to stand and see that. I've watched sunsets that there's not a painter alive that could capture the beauty of some of the sunsets that we've seen. We've seen some things just awesome, mind-boggling, breathtaking. But that's not going to be anything compared to what God has prepared for those that love Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. All of this has been tainted, folks. But when you get over there, the veil's going to be removed. And you'll see like you've never seen. And you'll feel things you've never felt. And you'll hear things you've never heard. Amen. And you'll be in an experience like nothing that you've ever known in all of your life. It's going to be better than what you believe. Let's stand together tonight. God has prepared a place for us tonight. God has prepared a place for us tonight. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? Anybody want to go tonight? I've had some good chocolate cake, but there's not a chocolate cake worth missing this for. Amen. It's better than anything that you can imagine. Amen. You need to understand that tonight. God's prepared some things. God's prepared some things. God's prepared a place for you. The Bible says that God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. God didn't prepare hell for human beings. But there are human beings that insist on going there. And so the prophet said, hell hath enlarged herself. It's undergone a building program. Because there are folks that are going there that God never intended to go. Amen. God prepared a place for you. Just for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you want to go? Anybody want to go tonight? Anybody want to walk with me on streets of gold? Anybody want to stand at the throne and see the lovely face of our Savior? Anybody want to go? Anybody want to go tonight? Hallelujah. Let's start right now. Let's start the praising now. Let's start the worship now. Let's start the singing now. And let's start the honor now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know it's going to be better than I even believe, than I ever imagined. Amen. Hallelujah. Into His presence. Hallelujah. That's it. Just usher in. Hallelujah. Oh.